This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. And we've got one that is a little atypical today and kind of special. I am sitting backstage at Brit with Mr. Ben Folds.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to JPR. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
New record due out very soon called So There.
Yep.
First single already out. We're going to hear that in just a few minutes, called Capable of Anything. Mm-hmm. And there was a much different sound to the song and to this new record. I want to get to that in just a minute. You worked with a chamber ensemble. I want to go back in time a little bit too, because this is the first time we've had an opportunity to chat with you. I find it interesting you actually started out in percussion. It wasn't actually piano, right?
Yeah, I was a percussionist first. And I played piano as well, but percussion was the thing I studied. That's what I thought. I thought I would be a percussionist when I grew up, in an orchestra specifically.
Probably a little tough to be a singer-songwriter as a drummer though, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the percussion was all sort of disciplined and trained, and I did lots of auditions, and I was very ambitious about that. And the songs that I was writing were very informal, so that was on the side. And I didn't really start seriously into a career of that until I made my first record when I was 27. So
you have gone back and forth over the years between Ben Folds 5 and Ben Folds.
Sort of. We did one record together a couple years ago since we split the five. Mostly it's been me. Yeah.
What does the five allow you to do musically that you just aren't able to do when you're on stage by yourself?
Play the songs that we recorded when we kind of got famous. the way that they were, first presented, and written. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That it does. I play a lot of orchestras, and orchestras allow a different view on those songs when I do those. And Robert and Darren, the bassist and drummer, and I have a particular chemistry that's just, it's fairly unique. You can use piano, bass, and drums. It doesn't sound like us unless it's those two guys.
And do they allow you, I guess they probably set a groove that allows you to play over the top of it rather than you having to support yourself also when you're playing?
Mostly it's just the chemistry thing. It's just that it has a specific, chemistry.
I want to talk about the new record. I've heard just a little bit of it. It's called So There. Information on the record and on Ben at his website, benfolds.com. You recorded this with a chamber ensemble that is starting to get a lot of publicity over the last couple of years. Yeah. They're called Why Music.
Why Music, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about them, and tell me how you got connected with making music with a chamber group.
I really liked their music. I was introduced to their music through a friend of mine, and heard their second record before it came out. And I guess I heard this about a couple years ago at this point, and pretty well blew my mind. They're it turns out they're as cool as they sound. They're great people. And I got in touch with them. I was thinking, I'd written a piano concerto for piano and orchestra, and I was going to release that. But we needed to flesh the record out with extra songs. And I was thinking about just using various ensembles. Maybe one would be a string ensemble. Maybe the next one would be, a cello or a percussion ensemble. So Why Music was one of the groups I was thinking of. And when we got together, it just seemed they were my people. We just grooved, and that was that.
Hmm. Well, I want to talk about the piano concerto that you've written as well, because it's kind of a fascinating new chapter of your career in writing for orchestra. But first, I want to hear the tune. Let's play the tune from the record. This is called Capable of Anything, and as you will hear, you have done a mighty fine job of integrating a string ensemble into the music of Ben Folds. That is Capable of Anything. It's the new single from the record called So There. Ben Folds, who's my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. We are sitting backstage at Brit Festivals in Jacksonville. You wrote a full-blown piano concerto, right? About a 20-some-odd minute piece of music?
Yeah, it's a three-movement piano concerto.
And you worked with an orchestra that crosses over a lot to folks that come from the world of popular music, the Nashville Symphony.
Nashville Symphony Orchestra, yeah. We recorded it, and I've played it all over the world now since then. We recorded it in Nashville, and Nashville Symphony Orchestra and the Ballet and Minnesota Orchestra were the commissioner. They commissioned it.
You're on the board of directors.
Yeah.
For the symphony, correct? Yeah. How did mm-hmm. that get started, that relationship?
Oh, they asked me after I did a, I played with the orchestra several times. Just volunteered to do a fundraiser for their flooded symphony hall. And we raised a lot of money for them. And I just kept talking them up because it meant a lot to me that this... that the orchestra survived and that the symphony hall, you know, was repaired. And I think it was after that that they approached me because they knew mm-hmm. I was serious about orchestras.
And you said there was a commission for you to write the piece.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to actually compose?
It was a year.
Was it completely foreign to you to be writing for that kind of large force, or had you done a little bit of it?
Not completely foreign, but it's big. You know,
yeah.
It's big. But, I mean, I've done charts for strings and horns and all kinds of things before. I hadn't really orchestrated on that level before. Mm. So I needed someone with me to remind me of all the ranges and the tessitura of each instrument and get me out of the mud some, sort of like a producer would when you're making a record.
Yeah.
So I had someone there with me.
When you were up on stage earlier, just warming up a little, I hear a lot of French impressionistic music.
Mm.
Do you have a strong or deep classical music background or affinity?
Well, I like French impressionist music. I like that era in general. I like Russian music. No, I don't really. I don't have any specific background. I heard a lot of stuff when I was growing up, and I played in orchestras from the time I could walk because I was into being a percussionist, you know. So I guess it sunk in. But as a piano player, I just kind of do, you know. I mean, I wonder about someone like, I mean, we've toured together a lot, but we've never really talked about it. Like what Rufus Wainwright's, how much he really knows. I mean, he plays well. But I think like me, just like you're exposed and your ear goes somewhere.
When he wrote an opera.
Yeah.
Right?
He's written two, I think.
Yeah. Well, you have done a multitude of different things. I mean, for 15, 20 years, pop, for lack of a better mm-hmm. term, was sort of the genre of Ben Folds and Ben Folds 5 stuff. Yeah. You've now produced records. You've written songs for soundtracks, both for film and animated film.
Yeah.
You landed a judging spot on a television singing competition, right? Did that have a pretty significant impact on people discovering your music?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think it had a big impact on people saying hello to me in airports. But I don't think so, because I think it would be like, you know, seeing if you know, Brian Gumbel would sell more records than someone who wasn't on TV. I mean, I was on television in front of most of the people who didn't probably know. I was cast as someone who was smart about music, but I'm not sure that the audience ever heard my music. They just took my word for it. And I was like, well, the guy seems to know what he's talking about. And most of the time I seem to have, yeah.
I think Harry Connick Jr. got that slot right on yeah. American Idol. He was the musical big brain.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed yeah. to the other two. So what is going on now for you? I mean, you've got this new record out. You have been on tour with Y Music a little bit.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Selected dates.
Yeah, we toured some. You know, with an ensemble like that, they're very busy individually and together. I'm busy all over the place. We just took the opportunity where we had time together to take the tunes out on the road well before the release of the album. And it was just, I just thought it was a magical tour. It wasn't even a magical mystery tour.
Is there a chance there's going to be a recording in the future of that piano concerto at some point? Or?
Oh, it's on the record.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's part of the record.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The record is, you know, a little longer than an average record. It's upwards of an hour, but part of it is the piano concerto, and the rest of it is Y Music and me.
Ben Folds is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The record of which he speaks is the new one. It's called So There. Information online at benfolds.com. You are gracious enough to perform a song for us special from the Brit stage, and I definitely want to hear that in just a bit. But before I go, I want to ask you one last thing about the RCA Studios.
Mm-hmm.
You were important, if not very instrumental, in the forces that worked together to save RCA Studios.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in that story of rescuing this thing that was going to be sold and perhaps demolished?
Well, I had been the renter, the tenant, for 12 years. And it's a large What it is, for anyone that doesn't know, there are very few studios of its ilk left anywhere. It's a very large, well done, beautiful, historic, orchestral slash anything else kind of studio. And I started leasing it like 10, 12 years ago. I understood that eventually they would probably sell the building, and they wouldn't sell just the studio. So they wanted to sell the entire building for well more than the building was worth. There's no way that anyone who was going to take a loan out could have afforded it. So really what that meant was that one day someone would buy it to tear it down to build condos, which is in fact what happened. And we saw that coming for a long time, tried to do what we could about it. And when it happened, the only thing I could really do to save the building was just to go to Facebook. Hmm. I mean, I'm not someone who asks people very often for things or ask them to check out my cause. I don't think I keep fairly quiet. And when I said this is a big deal to me, it would seem to be a big deal to a lot of other people too, because I think everyone has and every city has places that are historic that are just not respected and just torn down. And that's understandable as you're moving forward. I mean, it's a very complicated issue, actually. In this case, we avoided it. And sometimes you can't avoid it, and sometimes you shouldn't. But in this case, we saved the studio. It was a pretty hairy battle, and I was willing to do it.
Tell me about its status now. What goes on there on a regular basis?
Well, at the time that they bought it, the development company that bought it that was going to tear it down, Tony Bennett had just been in there and made his duets record, or a lot of his duets record. Kacey Musgrave just won a Grammy for her work in there. I think right before then, Brian Setzer had been in there, and a whole host of other Grammy winning, some orchestras and all kinds of stuff. So it was very viable studio, stays busy all the time. It's not particular, studio business is a terrible business. Like, I lose a ton of my money in there. I don't really want to be a studio owner. I was really anticipating I could save the studio, possibly help save it, and then get out of the business. That was my wish. But as it turns out, the people who stepped in to save the studio and said, okay, we're going to buy it at any price if you'll remain the tenant, and we'll double your rent because we're going to have to. Because at the rate that they bought it, the price that they bought the building. So I just had to bite it off. So yeah, there you go. But you know, it stays busy. There's constantly great music going on there. It's the kind of place that you can make live and great music. Mm. It's made for that. It's not a small thing that it's made for that. There aren't studios these days that are as good at that as the studios.
And almost anybody that is a fan of music and has a collection that spans the decades likely has a record that was made in those studios, right?
Yeah, see, right before I came down to a rally that was being held to save the studio, I was up in Harlem, and I was at dive bar, and it was nothing but, I mean, it was pretty R&B kind of scene, you know, and I was having a good time. I went to the jukebox and decided I would try to find as much music made in my studio as I could. I found 45 minutes worth of music in a bar that was playing nothing but James Brown.
Really?
You know, and just played it, and it sat perfectly in the room. That really told me a lot. It's like something like Jolene by Dolly Parton or a Johnny Cash song can come up in the middle, even the Monkees recorded in their studio, can come up in the middle of all this other music of different ilks. And it's just, it something about that kind of it strengthened my resolve to try to save the studio, because it connects social dots, you know?
Mm. So do they do any sort of public tours of the venue as well? Or is it still,
haven't done tours yet. Yeah. I mean, the feeling is that it needs to continue to make future classics. And when you stop that process to have people come through, now that's not saying that we won't ever do it, but we've tried really hard not to. Speaking of Harlem, it's like if you go by the Apollo Theater, it's a big gift shop and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I understand why. Totally understand why.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, before I went through this process, I would have been like, what did they cheese it out for? Sometimes you got to cheese it out to save the building. But so far we've held on.
Well, from all of us music fans, thanks for...
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for saving the studio.
Oh, it was the music fans that saved it.
Ben Folds is my guest today, live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called So There, recorded with a chamber ensemble called Why Music. Ben, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for taking some time and speaking with us.
Oh, yeah, no worries.
What are you going to play for us?
This song is called Not a Fan. It's exactly about the place in, it's from the new album. It's a waltz. I like waltzes. The place in a relationship right at the beginning where you'll forgive someone for all kinds of things, you know, quirks that you wouldn't forgive yourself or someone else for. And then later on, you wish that you hadn't forgiven them. and I think everyone does that, you know. But I try to make the character who's singing it equally at fault. So I think as the third verse unfolds, you'll figure it out.
It's Ben Folds, live from the stage of the Brit Music and Arts Festival. That is Ben Folds live from Brit Stage out in Jacksonville. Ben Folds, thanks again for being our guest today on JPR.
And thanks for having me.